Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 5. In this chapter, we have the fourth sign or object lesson that Ezekiel acted out before the people to portray the coming siege and fall of Jerusalem. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 4 of the chapter. "And you, son of man, take a sharp sword, take it as a barber's razor, and pass it over your head and your beard, then take scales to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire one-third in the midst of the city, when the days of the siege are finished. Then you shall take one-third and strike around it with the sword, and one-third you shall scatter in the wind. I will draw out a sword after them. You shall also take a small number of them and bind them in the edge of your garment. Then take some of them again and throw them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire. From there a fire will go out into all the house of Israel." Let's begin our study of Ezekiel chapter 5 with some background notes. In Ezekiel chapter 4, we saw three signs that God had Ezekiel act out before his fellow captives in Babylon to indicate that Jerusalem, the city of God's temple, would fall to the Babylonians. Now here in Ezekiel chapter 5, we have a fourth sign. Remember, Ezekiel and others were already captives in Babylon at this time, which was 592 BC, but Jerusalem still had not fallen to the enemy. Many of the captives and also many of the people still living in Jerusalem were convinced that God would never let his temple be destroyed and thus Jerusalem would never be conquered. But they were wrong. God was about to let Jerusalem come under siege and let the beautiful temple that Solomon had built be destroyed. The idolatry and immorality of the people had gone too far. Indeed, the city of Jerusalem fell to the Babylonian army, and the magnificent temple of Solomon was destroyed in 586 BC. This coming siege and fall of Jerusalem was acted out by Ezekiel in a series of signs or action pictures that we see here in chapters 4 and 5 of Ezekiel. In sign number 1, the fact of the siege was portrayed by the model city of Jerusalem inscribed on a clay brick or tablet. In sign number 2, the length of Israel's sin and or her punishment was signified by the number of days Ezekiel had to lie on his side overlooking his model city. In sign number 3, the conditions of the famine to come during the siege was predicted by the meager amount of food Ezekiel ate each day, and the small amount of water he was allotted each day while lying on his side beside his model city of Jerusalem. Now in sign number 4, the results of the siege are dramatized by Ezekiel shaving his head and dividing up his hair into thirds by weight. So we know that Ezekiel was not bald, or else he would not have been able to give this object lesson, right? Shaving your head in those days was a sign of mourning and humiliation. With the people as his audience, at the end of his dramatization of the siege, Ezekiel was to burn one-third of his hair in the center of his model city, and then he was to spread out another third of his hair around the model city and strike it with a sword, and then he was to take the final third of his hair and scatter it to the wind. In addition, Ezekiel was to take a small amount of his hair and hide it in his robe, and then take some of this hair and burn it in the fire. All of this is covered in verses 1 through 4 of the chapter that we've just read. Now, what was the meaning of this object lesson? The meaning of this fourth sign is given in verses 5 through 17 of the chapter. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 5. So doctrinal point number 1, much death in Jerusalem was predicted by Ezekiel. Much death in Jerusalem was predicted by Ezekiel. Verses 5 through 17. "Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. She has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgments, and they have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that are around you, have not walked in my statutes, nor kept my judgments, nor even done according to the judgments of the nations that are all around you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed, I, even I, am against you, and will execute judgments in your midst, in the sight of the nations. And I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all your abominations. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to all the winds. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. My eye will not spare, nor will I have any pity. 1/3 of you shall die of the pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst, and 1/3 shall fall by the sword all around you. And I will scatter another 1/3 to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall my anger be spent, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be avenged, and they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have spent my fury upon them. Moreover, I will make you a waste and a reproach among the nations that are all around you in the sight of all who pass by. So it shall be a reproach, a taunt, a lesson, and an astonishment to the nations that are all around you when I execute judgments among you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken. When I send against them the terrible arrows of famine, which shall be for destruction, which I will send to destroy you, I will increase the famine upon you and cut off your supply of bread. So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. In these verses, we clearly see what God meant by the sign of Ezekiel shaving his head and the various treatments of his hair, which were divided into three parts. First of all, it pictured the separation between the Lord and his people. A man's hair and beard were closely linked with his body. So shaving the hair and beard represented broken fellowship. Jerusalem had been central to God's plans and close to God's heart. Israel was to be a light to the other nations, but she turned away from the Lord and was more wicked than the other nations. Therefore, God must separate himself from his people while they would reap what they had sown. Verse 11. Furthermore, Ezekiel's shaved head and beard represented the defiled condition of the nation, because under the law, the priests were not to shave their heads or beards. Remember, Ezekiel was a priest. I'm reading Leviticus chapter 21, verse 5, in reference to the priests. They shall not make any bald place on their heads, nor shall they shave the edges of their beards. So we can see why God used Ezekiel's shaven head and beard as a sign. Now, the three parts of divided hair represented the different categories of people who would die in the siege and fall of Jerusalem. Verse 12, 1/3 of you shall die of the pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst, and 1/3 shall fall by the sword all around you, and I will scatter another 1/3 to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. There would be much death in Jerusalem as a result of the siege and defeat of Judah. Even those few who escaped at first, represented by the small amount of hair in Ezekiel's robe, would face death later. Many of them died in Egypt, where they tried to escape. All of this, of course, came true when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple in 586 BC. Much death in Jerusalem was predicted by Ezekiel. Doctrinal point number 2. Horrible death in Jerusalem was predicted by Ezekiel. Horrible death in Jerusalem was predicted by Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And I will do among you what I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all your abominations. Therefore, fathers shall eat their sons in your midst, and sons shall eat their fathers. And I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to all the winds. During the long siege of Jerusalem, this literally came true. cannibalism actually took place. I'm reading Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 10. This takes place after the fall of Jerusalem. This is a record of the sad conditions that are going on in Jerusalem that has fallen. The Lamentations here of Jeremiah. I'm reading Lamentations chapter 4, verse 10. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. Lamentations 4:10. God had said in his law that if Israel turned away from him, cannibalism would be one of the results of their sin. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 49 through 53. This all came to pass when Babylon besieged and conquered Jerusalem. Horrible death in Jerusalem was predicted by Ezekiel. In verse 17 here in Ezekiel chapter 5, we see further horrible death that would result from Israel's disobedience. Verse 17, "So I will send against you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you. Pestilence and blood shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken." These results were also predicted in the law as divine judgment for disobedience. Leviticus 26, verses 21 through 25. So not only much death in Jerusalem was predicted, but horrible death in Jerusalem was predicted by Ezekiel. Now what about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 5? Don't forget that God is holy as well as God is love. Don't forget that God is holy as well as God is love. The Bible certainly teaches that God is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. But how can the Bible teach that God is love when we read verses like 13 through 15 of Ezekiel chapter 5? The answer is that God is a holy God as well as a God of love. Did you ever have someone question God's love because of his actions of judgment and wrath? How did you answer that person? The answer is that God is holy as well as God is love. God cannot sweep sin under the rug. He is holy and just. He must judge sin. His wrath is directed against sin. I mean, what would we think of loving parents who did not discipline their children and just let them get away with all kinds of wrongdoing? Fortunately for us, God in his love provided a way of escape from his wrath toward us as sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross as our substitute. There the wrath of God was directed at Christ because of our sin. Now salvation is offered freely as a gift because the price has been paid. But the gift must be received by faith. If not, the wrath of God is not removed because God is a holy God. John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." I trust no one here is still abiding under the wrath of God. Don't forget that God is holy as well as God is love.